lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 106, stanzas 1 and 4 through 6. What wait I for but thee? My hope is in thy name. From all my sins deliver me, nor put my soul to shame. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 106. Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews 2. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are reminded by thee, and it will be brought into that great judgment on that last day of our life and on the last day of this world, how that thou hadst created us, how that thou hast made us. For thou hast made him, thy servant, did write, a little lower than the angels, and that crown, and that thou hadst crowned us with in the day of our creation, the glory and the honor of being made in the very image of thee, being holy and being righteous and being filled with knowledge, the knowledge of thee and the knowledge of thy works, the knowledge of thy will. And now we have turned it all so upside down, as so that it is all lost. All that knowledge and all that righteousness and all that holiness. And we stand in our nakedness. We stand in our shame. We stand in our guilt before thee, our maker and our creator. And thou wilt bring us into judgment for our iniquities, O Lord. It needs to be bound upon our hearts by thee, for we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we have no desire anymore for thee and for thy truth. But we are so under that death of that prince of darkness, the love of it living in our hearts. Oh, that thou may grant us true conversion, O Lord, who art the first, who art the Alpha, who art the beginning. Oh, are there not those that do cry from our midst, and that thou would begin with me too, to give me that favor that thou bearest unto all thy people, that thou wouldest not leave me in this dust of death, but that thou wouldest quicken me after thee. Lord, remember us, both young and old, in thy mercy. Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou alone hast the power to raise us from the dead. And thou didst promise it unto thy disciples and to all thy truly sent servants in the day and that thou didst depart. Thou didst promise unto them, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, and wilt thou show that thou art with us too, also in the midst of this our flock, and that thou wouldst give to us thy grace and thy spirit in a rich measure, do pour it forth unto those of us who do not deserve it. Lord, thou knowest our own sins, all our iniquities and all our transgressions, all of our hearts. They are all open and naked before thee, and with whom we have to do. But thou who hast taken upon thyself the great sin of thy church, wilt thou look upon us then in thy mercy also in this day, in thy house of prayer, and when we are separated a little while from all the things of time and of sense in an outward way, and when we are bound within the walls of thy house, that here we may try to raise our voice to Thee in supplication, in confession, in our need, and that we also may sing. We may sing of Thee, but also of the need of our own hearts. Lord, that Thou may remember us then. To whom else can we go but to Thee? And to whom wilt Thou we go, O Lord? Wilt Thou not have us to bow before Thee and to confess to Thee, to supplicate to Thee? Lord, here we are. We are with our children and our grandchildren. And we are here with our loved ones. And then we try to draw nigh to Thee. And we cannot, for we have no heart to do it of ourselves, but take reasons out of Thyself, who art the foundation, who art the rock, who art everything for Thy church. And wilt Thou come in the midst of us, undeservedly, for Thy great name's sake, to magnify Thy dear and only begotten Son, to glorify Him, and all that He has done, and for Thy great name's sake, to bring in Thy church, Thy dear children, whom Thou hast elected from that never-begun eternity, and whom that Thou wilt surely bring in, because they are Thy own children, and that this world is not yet at an end. Lord, then Thou sayest that Thou hast yet work to do, and we may still have Thy word, and we may believe we still have Thy truth. Lord, then wilt not Thou do something with it in this day for us and for our children, that Thou may go from pew to pew, that Thou may go from heart to heart, that Thou may give that attention that Thou gavest unto a Lydia of old, that she may attend to the things that were spoken of Paul, and they were spoken of Thee through him, and just a little instrument in Thy holy fingers, in the power of Thy hand, to do what man is not able to do. Lord, remember and look upon us in this, in the midst of this world, wherein Satan goes about as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light, to deceive whom that he will. But Thou art stronger than the devil. Oh, take away his power, Lord, that we might see it also in the midst of us, and that hard hearts may be broken, and that they may be made soft, and that the tears may be given to flow from the hearts of young and old, and that there may be a true turning away from our carnality, from our vanity, and from our sinfulness, and that we may be brought to a look unto Thee, and to desire to return unto Thee, and with all our heart, and with all our might, with all our soul, and with all our strength, look on those who mourn, who mourn for iniquity and for sin, and we do not know where they are, but Thou knowest where that they are. Lord, Thou dost open eyes to see our wretchedness and our misery, and wilt Thou also open those eyes to behold Thee and Thy dear Son, that there may be a food in Thine house, and that there may be joy in Thy house, that there may be fruit in Thy house upon Thy holy word, that Thy dear Son may be magnified, and that Thy great name may be glorified, and that Thy kingdom may be enlarged, and that they may be brought from the east and from the west. O Thou who didst say, lengthen Thy cords and strengthen Thy stakes, wilt Thou bring in the Gentiles? Remember Thy servant who does labor there upon the mission field, and all those that labor with him, and others that labor in other places. And wilt Thou give strength? Wilt Thou give Thy spirit? And wilt thou help in all the outward circumstances. And wilt thou fight, Lord, in thy victory over the prince of darkness, whose head thou hast bruised. Wilt thou bring them in then from far and from near. Remember all thy servants also, of those of the established congregations, our own denomination, and the great need that there is, Lord, that thou may give men in thy favor, in thy own time, who are wrought upon by thee, who are humbled by thee, who are brought in the dust by thee, for whom thou dost make it impossible. But, Lord, thou wilt thrust forth those who will go forth to bring in thy kingdom. May it be for our seed also that does follow us in this world, and that thou wouldst keep thy truth amongst us to be taught unto those who may teach it unto others. Remember all those that labor for the sake of souls, also our teachers in our schools. Oh, give unto them thy grace in their hearts, Lord, that they may be born again also by thee, that their life and their example may be for the drawing of the hearts of our children, and that thou may bless and sanctify the labors there and in the homes for the good of our children. Wilt thou remember our government? Wilt thou give a returning to thy law and to thy testimony? Could it please thee to open the borders, and that there may also be an ability to travel once again back and forth, and that meetings may be able to be held, and that thou wouldst take away that heaviness of thy hand, and that yet lays upon us. Bring us unto our knees, Lord. Remember all the sick and the afflicted, the widows of the congregation, and all those that do look for healing for the body. Wilt thou supply, as thou art the provider and the sustainer for the life that thou hast created, and give us to feel our dependency. Wilt thou give comfort to all that mourn, and teach us all to mourn, and that we might need the comfort of thy dear Son. Wilt thou give us this hour strength and ability to bring thy word. May it be thy Spirit in a rich measure. May it be for the good of our souls. Be amongst us as one that serveth, feelingly and believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 244, the first four stanzas. Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulations, thou hast been our dwelling place. And what follows, 1 through 4 of Psalter 244. congregation, the words of our text can be found in the chapter read to you, Hebrews 2, and thereof the 14th and the 15th verses. Hebrews 2 and verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So far the words of our text. The destruction of him that had the power of death, first, who he is, we read, that is, the devil. Second, how he was destroyed, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. How he was destroyed. And last, the deliverance by this destruction, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The deliverance by this destruction, the destruction of him that had the power of death, who he is, how he was destroyed, and the deliverance by this destruction, him that had the power of death. That is something, congregation, to have the power of death. Do you have the power of death? Say, what does that mean, to have the power of death? Death is something that is so very, very powerful. Do you believe that? Solomon said that no man has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither is there any discharge in that war. And that war. So what war is he speaking about? He is speaking about the war between life and death. That is the war to retain the spirit, to retain our life. We gather weapons for that warfare. And we will call the doctor. And we will ask for medicines for that warfare. And we will use all kinds of technology in that warfare. But then even the doctors, they will tell you that they are without power. And that there is only so much that they can do, and that they are not able to keep a man in this world. Him that hath the power of death. Does the devil then say, when we are going to die? No, he does not. David says, unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But Satan is also an instrument in the hand of the Lord to bring to fruition all of his counsel. So everything that the Lord has decreed, the Lord is using men, but even the devil, to bring it forth. And he gives to the devil certain powers, and he is always in control himself, that those powers are only what he is allowing the devil to do, and that he is not able to do anything against the will of God. Him that hath the power of death. So what is that power that God gives unto the devil about death? That is, in the first place, that he is given power, he is given permission to tempt a man to sin. And sin, all sin, is unto death. That is, that sin that is the least sin that is not taken away, that will be unto death. Paul says the wages of sin is death. Do we believe that? Our first parents believed that. The Lord told them that. They were created in His image, and they knew Him, and they knew His will, and they knew that the wages of sin is death, that they would die if they sinned. But under the temptation, they began to doubt. They began to doubt. That is the way it is it not? When we are under the temptations of the devil, and when that sin is placed before us and our flesh desires that may walk, that it may run even into those sins, then we say, well, shall we die? Is that really true? Is that really so bad? Thus, the doubts of that truth, that sin is unto death, that is coming to us as it was to our first parents, that doubt that is coming under the powerful temptations of the devil. The devil is accountable for those temptations. When he is tempting a man and he is leading a man to commit sin, and he will have to answer to God for his own sin, and he will have to answer to God for every person that he has led into sin. But at the same time, those persons that he has led into sin, they are also led into death. But Satan is not the only one that leads men into sin. We do that too. We do that too. People. And we are also accountable for every temptation that we give unto another man, unto another child. What are those temptations that we give, fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers? What are those temptations that we give unto our own seed? Do we tempt them to walk after us in a way of vanity? In a way of carnality? Do we say, come and follow me in this way that I walk? We will have to give an answer for all the temptations into which we have led others, even our own seed. And they themselves, they are led at the same time into death. It is all actually satanic. Peter said unto the Lord Jesus that he would not have him to go the way of suffering. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You will not have me to go in the way of suffering. You will not have me to go in the way of trial. And that was only of the devil. Him that had the power of death. What is that death? Into which the devil has led our first parents. That is not only a temporal death, but that was a spiritual death. And that is also eternal death. So Satan is called the prince of this world. And Satan continues to lead this world, his subjects in this world, and to tempt God's children in this world, to lead them into sin, which is all unto death. He has a great power. It is a great power to tempt and to lead and to encourage the love of sin. The love of sin that lives already in our heart. And if it is the love of sin, then it is also the love of death. Do you believe that? Do you feel the power? Do you feel the power of that prince of darkness in your own heart, in your own life? A great power to draw you to sin, to draw you to emptiness, to draw you away from the Lord, to draw you to everything that is perishing in the midst of this world? Or do you feel sometimes the inability to deliver yourself from this power, that powerful drawing that is living in our hearts, that is away from the Lord? Do you mourn under that power? Do you weep under that power? Do you cry out unto the Lord from under that power of death, that you may be freed from that power, that you may be given to love only the Lord, to love His law, His commandments, to do all what He says, or to want to live again as the Lord has made us to live? That is now one of the first things that the Lord is giving to a man, a boy, a girl, in true regeneration. Boys and girls, if the Lord will do that in your young life, you will be the happiest boy and girl in the whole world. And yet, there will be tears flowing down your cheeks. You say, happy? Yes. Happy is such a boy. Happy is such a girl that learns to cry. That learns to cry unto the Lord. That says, Lord, I am so worldly. I am so sinful. I am so wretched. I am so miserable. I do not love Thee as I was created to love Thee. I am not holy. I am not righteous. That is a happy boy. That is a happy girl. You say, how can they be happy? Oh, ask them. Say, come now, play with me. Oh, maybe they do. Maybe they do. And in their hearts, oh, they are weeping. They are weeping. Oh, one of those first things in that newborn soul that is crying out. When the Lord gives them life, they are crying out because of death. But even later, Paul, he cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He cried out from under death in his wretchedness. What death was that? Oh, that was the death of the love of sin in his flesh that remained in him. And he says, I cannot deliver myself from that power, from him that had the power of death. And so it is with that whole church. They cannot deliver themselves from him. Oh, he is so strong. They need a Savior. They need a Deliverer. And we see that in our second thought, how he was destroyed. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Thus, he speaks about the destruction of the devil. Of the devil. That is in the singular. You say, well, there are more devils than one. That is right. But here it speaks actually about the head of the devil. So it comprehends all the devils in one devil, speaking about them all in their head, in their leader, that he might destroy him. Who is that? What does that mean, to destroy him? Is the devil destroyed? You say, no, the devil is not destroyed. Well, the devil cannot be destroyed. Why can the devil not be destroyed? Because the devil is a spirit. And a spirit is a simple being. That means he is not composed of parts. And to destroy him is impossible. You cannot take that a spirit apart. Thus, no, the devil is not destroyed. What does our text speak about? It speaks about the power of the devil. Thus, the destruction of his power. Is then the devil made powerless? You say he is not. No, we see that throughout the whole world. Oh, God's people feel that also in their own heart. The devil is far from powerless. All those temptations that he is laying before us, oh, it seems that the Lord gives him more power. More and more to lead the world in which we are living, or to lead them to that day of judgment. No, you say, the power of the devil that is not destroyed. But Paul speaks here about a particular power. And what is the particular power? It is the power of death. To destroy him that had the power of death. And that is called here the devil himself. Okay, to destroy him that had the power of death. When he destroys his power of death, then it is said that he is destroying him. Thus Christ says, I am the life. And of the devil, the apostle says, he is the death. He is the power of death. There you have that great warfare between life and death. Spiritual life and death. Temporal life and death. And eternal life and death. When did death come into the world, boys and girls? It came into the world after sin came into the world. And who was the first sinner? That was the devil. He was the first sinner. And he was the tempter to tempt our first parents that they would fall into sin also. Or is he not rightly cursed by the Lord? That he has sought the destruction of the crown of the creation of God? Is that not an awful thing, to be an instrument for the downfall of another person? Well, we remember that too, young people. When we are in school with all our friends, and when we have influence on one another, that is so natural. And now you can have a good influence, or you can have an evil influence. What do you do? What do you do? Remember that you will have to give an answer for what you do. And all of us, I don't only say you, me too. Or we can all put our hand into our own bosom, can we not? How do we live? How do we lead? What kind of influence do we have? Oh, that devil. How he has influenced our first mother. Oh, he has come to that tender woman when Adam was not there. He has taken advantage of that tenderness. And then she, an instrument in the hand of the devil to tempt her loving husband because she had influence. Oh, what a significant thing is influence in the midst of this world. And so that first sin, that first sinner, that is the devil himself influencing our first parents. And now Paul, he speaks about this devil. He says that he might destroy him. Thus he says that power of the devil is now destroyed. Destroyed. And because that power, that destruction of him that had the power of death, because of that destruction, he says now there is life. Life. New life that is brought into this world. He says death has no more dominion. Death does not have the power anymore over that human race. Because that power from that prince of this world that is broken. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? Could we break it? Oh, we could not break it. No man could break it. But Paul declares here that power, that awful power from which we cannot deliver ourselves. He says that is a power that has no more dominion. In our text, Paul declares how that he that had that power of death was destroyed. He says he was destroyed through death. Is that not a paradox? That death was destroyed through death. Oh, the wisdom of God that is so high, that is so deep. Oh, the depth. We read in the Bible, Paul, oh, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Death destroyed through death. The disciples, they were so perplexed. They did not understand that. But they had to go through it. And later they understood it. After they were led through the death in the way of their own experience. And that is now the same with the church of all ages. They have to follow their master. They have to go in that way of death, that way of dying, in order that they may live. That is so incomprehensible. The psalmist, he says, my life draweth near unto the grave. Unto the grave. Oh, does your life draw near unto the grave? Unto the pit, he says. Unto death. My life that draweth near unto destruction. Oh, he says, Lord, how can that be? How can that be? He says, wilt thou now show thy wonders? He says, unto the dead. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Oh, yes. thou blessed man of God, and the Lord is going to show wonders to the dead. Oh, it is true. The dead are going to arise, and they are going to praise him. To praise him. Oh, how? How shall that wonder be accomplished? For as much we read then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. So what do we see in the first place? That it was not for the devils. It was not for the devils. They also sinned. But he did not take upon himself the nature of the devils in order that he may pay the price, that he may deliver the devils. Their sin was like our sin, but their death is not the same as our death, because they do not have flesh and blood. They are spirits. Thus, there is a soul death, as it were. And there is for them an eternal death. But there is no death, temporal death, as there is in a man. Oh, do you ever think about that? That wretched state of the devils, because they were not worse than us. When they have left their Creator, when they have rebelled against their Creator, then they did the same iniquity and the same pride lived in their hearts as in our heart. But for them, there is no deliverance. Oh, we have only the good pleasure of God to think that there is any hope, any measure of hope for us and for our children. It does not come from us. That comes only from God. What do you think? Do you think that the devils in hell are ever jealous of us? Are ever jealous of us? Not because there is a way to return unto God, for they have no desire to return to God, but they pine away in their constant and everlasting misery. What do you think? Do you think that the devils ever look at us and say, "Thou fool, thou fool, that you do not take heed to that opportunity that is given unto you, that is not given unto us? Thou fool, that you take heed to all of our wiles, that we may bring you to accompany us in our wretchedness and in our misery." Oh, is that not a great love, whereby the Lord has loved, what we read here, his children? It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood." Or is that not a great love to the children? That he was willing to take upon him their flesh and blood. And why? That he may die in it. Is that not a great paradox? That he took life upon himself in order that he may die? That death was the very purpose of his life? And death is exactly the thing that did not belong unto us in our creation. We were not created to die. We are created to live. Job says, "Oh, that I had never been born. Oh, that I had never seen the light of day." Why? For the misery, for all the trials, for all the tribulation, for all the suffering that he had to endure. Oh, that I had not been born into this world. But that is now the very reason that the Lord Jesus was born. That was the very purpose that he knew before that he was born, that he desired to be born, that he may live in that human flesh, that he may suffer in that human flesh for the children, the partakers of that fallen flesh and blood descending into that pit, the pit wherein the children had fallen, that he may die with them, that he may die for them, and that he may destroy him that had the power of death. Or a body, he says, hast thou made me? Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is within my heart. Let us sing. 243, 11, 12, and 13. He is reproached and spoiled of all. His enemies upon him fall. His beauty is consumed away. Forgotten is his kingly sway. 11, 12, and 13 of 243. Thank you. as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Our third thought, the deliverance by this destruction, the deliverance of whom? Speaks here of people that are subject unto bondage. Thus, what is bondage? That is to be enslaved. That is to have a taskmaster. That is to be not free, so that I am under the power of someone else, and then very often oppressed. What is now that bondage that the apostle is speaking about here? He speaks about a bondage through the fear of death. Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die? What do you fear more than death? Is that not actually the thing that behind all our fears is lying, that fear of death? All men fear death. That is a proof that death is not natural, that we were not created to die, as some say. That is a proof that death is the consequence of sin. All men fear death. But not all men are all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. No, the greatest part of men do put far away from them that evil day. Thus, how often do we think about death? Maybe when we become sick, but today there is so much help for the sick that even when we become sick, we often do not think about death. But then there is a more serious sickness, and then perhaps we think about dying. Or there is an accident and we think about dying. Or someone else in the congregation or in our family, they pass away, and then we think about dying. That is also natural and soon gone. The Lord Jesus speaks about two ways. He speaks about the broad way, and he speaks about the narrow way. And then he speaks about the end of those two ways. He says the end of the one way is destruction, and the end of the other way is life. Life eternal. Thus, what is he setting before men that they might enter, to draw them unto that narrow way? Does he set before them the trials of the narrow way? The troubles of the narrow way? Because the narrow way does not include all the enjoyments of this world. He does not set before them, well, that narrow way that has to go over the mountains. It cannot find a way around them. It has to go through the valleys, because that is a straight way. And now all the things so often on that narrow way are not so drawing to our flesh. How does he draw them then? Well, he sets before them the end of those two ways. That end of destruction and the end of life eternal. And now through regeneration, the Lord, He is setting before that people the end of the way, the end of their life. What does the Lord do in regeneration? The Lord sets before their eyes the reality of life that is death, the reality of eternity that is going to follow this life. So they begin to attend to all the things that are beyond, that are further than this life. Oh, He gives faith, faith in their heart. They begin to believe. Did the Lord ever give you to begin to believe? To believe what? Oh, then we begin to believe the Word. We begin to believe the existence of God. We begin to believe His truth. How that we were created. How that we have fallen. And that we have to die. They believe that. They begin to believe that. In that regeneration. Because in that Word of God is set before them the shortness of life and handbreadth. A vapor. It just comes and it disappears. And that faith believes. It comes, it is not just planted, no, it is exercised. Exercised in the moment that it is planted. And it is very, very busy doing its work, the work of faith, which believes. Oh, before their eyes, day and night, often is death. Is death. And if we know nothing of all of that, nothing of it, well, then we are not born again. Then we are not born again. Because to be born again is to give spiritual life. And that spiritual life goes beyond the things of the natural life. Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That it is, thus it is to them like a slave. A slave who has to appear soon before his master, and he knows that he has disobeyed him. He is subject unto that bondage. Then Bunyan's pilgrim, he fled out of the city of destruction. It was for what reason? We can read that he was afraid to die. And he was afraid what was going to happen after death. That he had to meet God. They had to appear before God in the judgment. He believed it. He believed it with his whole heart. That faith was so strong. And that it tore him away from all that broad way. That he had to leave that broad way. Oh, death that pursued him like that cruel taskmaster, so he could not enjoy anymore the things that were in this life. There are people who know such a life in the fear of death. They arise every morning like everyone else, and they go to school and they go to work, children, just like everyone else too. And they go on the playground too, just like everyone else. And they go to bed like everyone else. But in their heart, they cannot enjoy all that life like everyone else. Because there is a certain fear. there is a certain concern in their heart. For what? That they have to die. Is that not a bondage? Is that not a heavy bondage? Neither do they know how to deliver themselves from that bondage. Christian's pilgrim, he looked this way and he looked that way as if he would run, and yet he stood still. Because he did not know which way to go. They do not know what to do. And now Paul, he speaks about the deliverance from this bondage and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But how did he deliver his children from those bonds, from their perpetual anxieties of that new life that is through faith? Through faith. Oh, that faith is already planted in them. It is not a new faith, no. It is the same faith. They are believers. Believers. They believe that word of God. Are you a believer? That is what we hear so often today, that we must be a believer. And congregation, it is true when you speak about it in the right way. What is now the object of that faith that is making that people to love? It is making that people to fear. And now the Lord, what does he do to deliver them from that bondage? He reveals a new object for that faith. Because that is a strong faith, even if it is a young faith, take a little infant and put your little finger, boys and girls. You have a little brother, little sister, and put your little finger in their hand and see what they do. And they will hold on to it. So you say, I can't even get my finger out. See, that is just a little hand. And yet it has a strong grasp. And now those little ones say, how strong is that faith? Well, when they go over the world, subject to this bondage, then that faith, oh, that is very, very strong. Is it not? And now the Lord opens to them a new object, that he may deliver them from this bondage, from that fear of death. And what does he now show to them? Oh, he shows to them him who took part of their flesh and blood. And he reveals to them the reason why. Why that he came to take their own flesh and blood, the same nature as themselves. That nature of flesh and blood of the fallen, not as it was before they fell, but after they fell. That flesh that was mortal, not immortal, but mortal. And he came just to do that, to die in that flesh. And he came to deliver them from the bonds of all their fears of death and of judgment, and to deliver them from the power of him that had the power of death, to destroy him, to bruise his head, and to take away all his power, all those fears of death. How powerful that they are, ask the people who are all their lifetime subject to this bondage. But now the death of Christ, that is more powerful, it is more powerful than all those fears. It is sufficiently powerful to deliver those who are subject to bondage, all their lifetime, and who have no power to deliver themselves from those fears. And it is powerful enough to quiet, those fears. In those moments when the Lord is giving them that blessed faith in exercise, wherein they may behold him, when they may see him who has taken the flesh and the blood of the children, all that is sufficient to chase away all the trembling in those moments, all the trembling of the heart of that people, and then death itself has no ability to frighten them. You say, don't they have to die? Oh, sure, they have to die. Yes, they have to die. But the apostle says elsewhere, the sting of that death is taken away. And what is the sting of death? He says the sting of death is sin. And now faith beholds it. Faith beholds that sin taken away in that death of him who has taken that flesh and blood, in order that he may bruise the head and that he may destroy him that had that power of death. Oh, what a blessed thing is true faith in exercise. It is so powerful to give rest, to give peace, even to the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, it is the will of God to give rest and to give peace unto his children, that they would not live in constant fear, subject all their lifetime to the bondage of him who had the power of death. Therefore, he destroyed him, that he may deliver them from it. And now the evidence of that destruction is where? How do we know of that destruction? That evidence is found in the heart of those who, through fear of death, are all their lifetime subject unto bondage. And then there is a certain evidence, an evidence that is experienced in their heart, that devil is now destroyed. What is the evidence? Oh, that evidence is the rest. The rest that they know they cannot give to themselves. That evidence is that peace that is experienced in the exercises of the faith, in the beholding of him who has destroyed him through death, that had the power of death. That evidence is within them. They know it. They feel it. Can they hang on to it? No, they cannot. That is all a gift of God. But it is true. Or they may receive the more faith, maybe in exercise, or the more death becomes a friend. A friend and not an enemy, so that they may begin to. Do we even dare to say it? To look forward? To look forward to the day of their death? As a deliverance from bondage? As a deliverance from sin? As a deliverance from death? What Paul calls the death, the sin in the flesh, the dying to that old man, all the more that faith is in exercise, the more death becomes to that people a friend, and thus they have the evidence within themselves of the truth of the words of the apostle, that that devil who had the power of death is destroyed. Calvin says, if anyone cannot pacify his mind by disregarding death, let him know that he has made as yet but very little proficiency in the faith of Christ. Thus he says it is like a thermometer. Whether we can disregard death, whether that fear of death is taken away, or is there not so little proficiency in us in the faith of Christ? O congregation, he is despised. He is rejected of men, we read. Isaiah said a long time ago, he is a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief. We speak about his passion. We speak about his sufferings. And we speak about his death. What is that now for us in these weeks? What does that do for us? What does that mean to us? Have we no interest, no true interest in the death of Christ? Is that not because we think so little about our own death? Because our own death is not bound upon our hearts. We believe it, sure. We all believe it. But in the Bible we read what our thoughts are. Their inward thought is that their houses shall be for A and their dwelling places to all generations. Is that not true? Is that not true? When we go from day to day and we are not thinking about our death. And when we are not thinking about our death, how can it be and that the suffering and the death of Christ would be precious unto us? Oh, how quickly can death climb into our windows? A sudden accident, a sudden sickness, and then we are struck with fear. With fear. Is that not right? Do we ever think about that? Death, that is the reality of our life. There is not one of us, if the world will continue yet for any length of time, there is not one of us that is going to escape it. And what is going to be our comfort? What is going to be our consolation in our death? Then the devil is going to appear and has tried to cover that death all our life. And then he is going to set it before us in all of its colors, that he may terrify us. Oh, there is only one that is stronger than the devil. Not you and I, but only God, and only his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one thing that can quiet us concerning our death, and that is his death. That is his death. His death, which has destroyed him, that has the power of death. Oh, that is attainable, congregation. That is attainable for our death, for our deathbed. If we may get a deathbed, that we might have that comfort upon our deathbed. Do you believe that that is attainable? Do you desire that you may have that comfort upon your deathbed? It is attainable, but it needs to be obtained in this life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do show unto us the reality of our life, because we are so blind and we are so foolish, and we go over this world in death and approaching death, a temporal death and an eternal death, and we may try to speak a few words, and that it may go with us, for we will have to give an answer also for it in that great day of days. Bind it, Lord, upon our hearts. Give us true conversion. Show unto us the reality, and give us to seek thee while thou mayest be found. Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all that is amiss within and without, and helping each one of us in the week to come, sparing us from a sudden and an unprepared death, from all danger and accident, and wilt thou give what we need for our life, and wilt thou keep each one over dangerous ways, and that thou may bless the labors of our hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is the Song of Simeon. All the stanzas. Lord, in thy temple we appear, as happy Simeon came, and hope to meet our Savior here. O, make our joys the same, and with what divine and vast delight that good old man was filled when fondly in his withered arms he clasped the holy child. All the stanzas of the Song of Simeon. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.